Two people who really get upset about Smallville. Geek World. Geek World. Bumpin' Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're all listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, Anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. Again, we are joined in the studio with our correspondent, Darkybus Rybar.
Right on.
Gonna have a blaxploitation movie night.
Geek World.
Right on.
Yes. I can dig it.
Oh, I know you can. And, you know, I think this is this show's been some heavy yes right now. You know what I'm saying? It's been pretty big. So
yeah,
we have to continue.
Mother effer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We have to continue this bad show going to continue with the Blaxploitation Essentials. We're now up to number five.
Mm-hmm.
Number five is, of course, martial arts / excessive violence.
Right, yeah. There's a, you know, there are guns and stuff, but yeah. Like, you know, what's the best thing against a gun? Your leg.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
I think it should be noted though that most people refer to the martial arts in these movies as kung fu.
Karate was a lot. Yeah, fu. Yeah. Black Belt.
Do they really say much karate?
No, Dave. Pretty much all of them. In Dolomite, she had the girls trained in karate,
yes,
and they were at the karate studio. Most of them actually, it's karate. And there was the Karate Brothers. You know, the two guys.
Right.
So, karate and Cleopatra Jones.
So
yeah.
It's more like when theorists write about it, they call it kung fu, but in reality, it's more karate.
Well, it is taken from kung fu movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you want to get specific with certain films, I guess if you were to borrow from, say, Enter the Dragon, it would be Jeet Kune Do.
Yes.
And I, you know, again, we're not familiar enough with what the styles look like to know what they were actually attempting to do, were any of them good enough to be able.
Like, yes, they're definitely, most of them are definitely karate, if nothing else, because they're usually in a dojo with some sort of belt on, which usually denotes either karate or judo or jujitsu of some sort.
Well, this was a kind of a later addition, I think, in terms of, I mean, not all blaxploitation movies deal with karate. I mean,
that's why we put excessive violence in there, too.
Yeah,
that's why excessive violence goes in.
Like Shaft, you know, tossing people out of windows and stuff like that.
But there usually was at least one person that seemed to be doing some sort of martial art.
Yes.
Like you know, there was, maybe it was a bad guy, maybe it was the good guy, but they all seemed to have some sort of fight training that wasn't, like, you know, that wasn't just brawling.
Run-of-the-mill brawling. Yeah. I would have to agree with that, yes.
And by training, I mean they all looked like they were trying to imitate martial arts movies.
Well, and it's funny, too, because some guys can go back to Superfly. Some guys looked like they actually knew what they were doing. I think the guy in Superfly, when he jumped over the fence to that kung fu kick,
was amazing.
And when he was, you know, training the dojo and just beating up guys in general, I thought he very much looked like he knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get Dolomite, the spoof, where basically, you know, he's sort of a heavy set guy, and it wasn't quite as bad as like Chris Farley doing martial arts in Beverly Hills Ninja, but it was still absurd nonetheless.
You know, Dolomite, there's a special place in my heart for Dolomite, and I believe there's a special place in a lot of people's heart for Dolomite.
There should be a lot of place in people's DVD shelves for Dolomite.
Yes, I agree.
There should be. And I should also point out
there was
a semi-sequel to Dolomite called Dolomite 2, The Human Tornado.
Yeah, we need to rent that
which does have some more of his fabulous stunt work.
Nice.
He's quite the man.
Does it have more boom mics?
He's out of sight.
I believe.
I love boom mics.
The boom mics, yes. We didn't put that in.
God.
Boom mics might also be
boom
essential.
Boom mics, yes. Well,
I love the boom mic.
You know, I don't want to break the illusions, and I haven't done much research on Dolomite for this very reason. You know, Dolomite does have a certain low budge charm to it.
Yes.
I should say.
And wantingly, we might.
Yeah, and the thing is, it is. It is directed by a man by the name of Derville Martin, who is actually an actor. He is in the film. He plays Willie Green.
Oh, he plays Willie Green, huh?
He's also in Black Caesar. He was in a bunch of films.
Now, so Willie Green looks like he actually knew martial arts, unlike Dolomite, who looks like they just taught him.
Martin certainly knew a couple of things. It was also written by Jerry Jones, who was the undercover FBI man.
Right. Who, by the way, what was the deal with him knocking over that guy's dominoes?
Yeah,
his tower.
Yeah,
all
that
he was
guy,
doing was
like
building
the guy,
a nice domino
just
tower.
Building a domino tower, hanging out in prison, and
you
then
build dominoes so you can see them fall, even if they're just a little.
Was that just part of the cover? He needed to be a badass who, you know, ruined people's domino art?
Maybe. The way I saw it, though, he just gave that guy something else to do because that guy was running out of dominoes to build with.
That's
and
true.
So now he gets to rebuild.
That's
he's in prison. He's
That's
got
true.
Time.
Although sometimes in prison they do leave the doors open.
Yes.
Yeah, well.
Yes.
It happens. But, I mean...
Well, that's how prison works, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Duh.
But Dolemite, you know, is one of those films in which, with Rudy Ray Moore, Rudy Ray Moore was a comedian.
Yes, he did Party Records.
Movie. Yeah, I mean, he's in the movie.
And now Rob R. is talking about Dolemite.
Yeah,
exactly.
Tell us more about Dolemite, Rob R.
What was I say? Oh, well.
Telling me about Rudy Ray Moore and how he's a comedian.
Rudy Ray Moore is a comedian, yes. And so when he's in a movie, you got to understand that it's not going to be something that you take seriously. And so there's always this little thought in the back of my mind, you know, were they aware with Dolemite when, you know, boom mics and
they ain't no jive turkey.
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like if anything, Dolemite... there is a chance they did it on purpose because it just is.
But what,
after you watch all the other ones,
at the
it comes
time,
off
you
as
gotta
such
go
a spoof.
To what end? What to yeah, what end? You know, it's like the, we weren't well, quite.
The thing is, I don't know that they necessarily noticed the boom mic in the shot when they were shooting it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that Dolemite, like, I see it as very much of a spoof, you know, of these movies. Not a spoof, but like a satire on the movie,
yeah.
on the genre.
It's a parody, I would say.
Yeah, but
it's not necessarily...
But while I don't think they necessarily knew the mics were there while they were doing the shot, I also don't think that they cared. I think that it kind of added to the effect of it. Like
it certainly did. I mean, you know, Black Dynamite, I think, borrows heavy,
yes.
heavily
genius.
From Dolemite.
Yes.
And they are doing direct rips.
I mean, the boom mics and that were just genius.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, we saw them because we had loved the boom mics in Dolemite. We just loved finding them and being like, oh, boom mics.
And they made it bright red and Black Dynamite.
It was so great.
And not only that, they have moments of Black Dynamite where you kind of, you know, go out of the narrative and he's noticing the
Michael J. White is actually staring at them.
Mic.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Speaking of Michael J. White staring, I loved when they would just go to shots of him like staring blankly at things.
Yes, because of
genius.
The...
Genius.
This is the second time Michael J. White played an ex-CIA agent, by the way. I believe the other time was Spawn.
Mm.
You know, so there you go. Which is a superhero. And when Superfly beat up a guy, the guy puked on a comic book. So there is a comic book, you know, thing you
Someone
can
else
talk about
was
here.
Reading comic books in Cooley High.
Yes, they were, yes.
Okay, so next one. Go on to the next one.
This is definitely a big one. Number six.
Blaxploitation Night.
For Blaxploitation films
is... Thursday.
Okay, that's not even...
Not today, but, you know, every Thursday. Thursday is Thursday.
Drugs ruining the community.
Well, yeah. Drugs ruin the community.
Heartbreak.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually, it's either, if it's not the anti-hero who's dealing the drugs, it's the hero who is trying to get drugs off the street.
Because they're cousins.
But Black Dynamite.
Yes, because they're ODing, yes.
But Black cousin. Dynamite, I deal drugs on the street.
Yeah. I thought that was really funny in Black Dynamite, how everyone's, like, nephew or cousin was ODing at the same time, which is, you know, was definitely a big part of, certainly movies like Coffee, you know, is a big deal, you know, like her 11-year-old sister got hooked on smack, and that was often a very
huge
deal.
And you did it!
Yes,
well,
I did.
Coffee asked the question, how far are you going to go? How high does this go? You
exactly.
Know, where do you stop?
You take it to the top.
I mean, does it go? I mean, that's one thing that I will say about Black Dynamite, and maybe we shouldn't spoil, but they do definitely take it to the top.
Yes, for sure. Definitely.
Definitely.
It to
the top.
We'll leave it at that. I think Coffee was just fantastic, and we found out that Pam Grier actually came up with the idea for Coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her uncle was a cop.
In Denver.
And she went to Jack Hill, who she had, you know, previously worked with the idea for it, and he, you know, kind of turned around and helped her to write it. Or
this was her first non-girl in prison movie when she made Coffee. Yes. And,
which I think it's great that she was just working as Roger Corman's assistant or secretary or whatever.
Can you imagine
Pam
Grier before she was a star?
Hey,
being like,
well, imagine being Roger Corman.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, like okay, it's Roger Corman.
Exactly. He made her a star.
Yeah, exactly.
It was her too.
I thought it was her too. But it's really interesting that let's talk about this real quick. You know, we American International didn't make Cleopatra Jones. They lost the rights to make it, so instead they made Coffee. And Coffee, though, had a much lower budget, actually made more money. And I think the reason why is, you know, you got Cleopatra Jones, which you know, though is very cool, she's kind of a boring character because she's basically Superman or Wonder Woman.
The other thing is that the actress Tamara Dobson that played her was a model, not an actress per se, and so she doesn't really have the kind of charisma that Pam Grier had. And Pam Grier, actually, we read something really interesting about how she always kind of thought of what she was doing, didn't matter what the role was, she played it like it was Shakespeare.
She was like it was Shakespeare.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so by doing that, she just was she would always bring such something so big to the screen.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think
and not just her boobs.
Yeah, and even though she was just insanely beautiful, which you know it goes without
and
saying.
Exotic and
but you know what was cool about her characters is you know they also were, at times were vulnerable. You know,
yes.
Especially if you watch Foxy Brown. You know, and I thought that was a really cool thing that her character was definitely had a lot of layers, and she was able to bring that to her characters.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting mix because it is either very classically trained actors, I believe Richard Roundtree, certainly Ron O'Neill.
Ron O'Neill, certainly,
was definitely from, I think, William Marshall, too, who played Blackula. He was...
very much, yes.
Yeah, Broadway opera. You know,
yeah, exactly. I mean, they have this rich, rich background, or they are models or athletes.
Even Superfly was trained in opera.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
exactly,
it's really funny, though, because you brought up a great point about classical training, because I think that, you know, there's the good side, which is Blackula, which, you know, that actor, you know, it worked really well. Because he's playing, you know, this prince from Africa from 1780.
Yeah.
So that kind of big theatrics works. But then I think you have Ron O'Neill, who, you know, though I thought was good in Superfly, it was just sort of weird hearing someone. It sounded like if Al Pacino did Scarface as Hamlet.
Yeah.
He had this kind of weird, like,
played it with a strong, you know, he brought his background to the part.
It was kind
of
weird.
It was a little awkward.
Because it seemed kind of out of place. It didn't quite seem as realistic as what he was saying. But then I think Pam Grier, she went after it with that sort of professionality, but she was able to make it real
because the absurdity of like Superfly was kind of brought out in Half Baked. You know when what's his face was pretending to be the big drug lord.
Chappelle.
When Dave Chappelle was pretending to be the big drug lord, the way he was talking.
Right, Nia Da Beach boy. He had his Jamaican accent.
Yeah, but the way that he was phrasing things and stuff almost seemed inspired, you know, like inspired by that kind of Broadway feel that those actors
more.
Brought to those.
Now, Rybar, maybe you know about film theory. Were there a lot of like movies starring the drug dealer before Superfly came out?
No, not at the time. Not that I know. I mean, not that I'm aware of. In that sense, certainly no. I mean, you know, there were definitely crime lord.
Yes,
films, but. You know, I mean, in terms of drug lords, pimps, pushers, things like that, I mean, I don't think there was much. And I think that's part of why, you know, the blaxploitation movies were you know, had that sort of lore to them, is that they didn't have these things. But at the same time, it's also kind of what, you know, undid them in a way.
Yes.
Later on, because essentially... After a few years, everybody was saying, well, what are we? Just, you know, cops?
Well, it's funny because...
Pushers or, you know, that's it.
Blaxploitation didn't even really start with that, though. The Watermelon Man, I think is what it's called, is one of the early ones, which was about a...
Sweetback.
Well, yeah, but prior to that, they were movies like The Watermelon Man, which was it a white bigot wakes up to find that he's black.
Yes.
You know, and that kind of thing helped to push off like blaxploitation, and then you have like Sweet Sweetback's badass song that wouldn't even play in white theaters and touted itself as rated X by an all-white jury.
Yes.
And they wouldn't play it in white theaters, and then some of the black theaters took it on, and like people were lining up by the hundreds to see it, and it really made for this this realization by the studios that African-American movies were commercially viable.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when all those movies kind of started getting the same, instead of the studios going, oh, well, people still want black actors, but different kinds of movies, they just went, oh, well, blaxploitation's over. No one wants to see black actors anymore.
I think what was happening is that, you know, when Jaws and Star Wars and all those movies came out, you know, I think like 10% of the audience that saw those movies were black.
Mm-hmm.
If that 10% of Jaws is going to be more than, you know, 100% of you know, Superfly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So why go to the expense? You know, why do that?
That's a really good point.
That's a good point.
You know, I
Thank
think
you,
when
George
you,
Lucas.
Yeah, when you're talking about Watermelon Man, there's this movie I always want to see called The Thing with Two Heads, where a white guy, a bigoted white man,
Rosie Greer,
wakes up to find that a brother man, a black man, has been sewed onto the white bigot.
Nice.
And so it's a two-headed guy, and I believe on the cover the two-headed guy is jumping over something with a dirt bike.
Yes.
And that's the cover. That's just the cover.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We
so
see that.
we're gonna have to go see
there
that.
There were a couple of. Blacks, what we would say, semi-blaxploitation films that would, you know, kind of to go through both, there would be white, major white characters, white actors. I mean, they were essentially crossover types of film.
Definitely. All right, so let's go to number 7 for the themes you need as a blaxploitation film, and that is crooked and or racist cops.
Mm-hmm.
This is very much...
Can't have one without.
Yes, they are very. It is very much and or, too. You know, you got movies like Dolomite mm-hmm. or... Cleopatra Jones. There's so many movies that have the crooked cops.
But Cleopatra Jones, it did have crooked cops, mainly add racist cops.
Yes.
Like, you didn't find out about crooked cops until later on.
Yeah.
It's some just
movies,
racist.
Yeah. Some movies, the cops are the bad guys. Other movies, like you said, there was, I don't remember which one it was, but all it was a few racist cops. Like, they would arrest somebody because he was black and assume he was a dope pusher,
That was Cleopatra Jones. Yeah.
Or was it Superfly?
Oh, right.
When they beat up the guy who sort of looked like Charlie Brown, the happy drug dealer.
Yeah,
I think it was Superfly. But yeah, that's always a big thing. Either the cops are right in the middle of it, or they're completely racist, and I'm sure that was especially the racism and violence part was certainly a part of the time in reality. And we know from the 90s the Rampart stuff that went on that certainly there are such a thing as corrupt cops too. So that was very much a staple of these films. Do you want to just go on to number 8?
Yes, let's see.
Number 8, you need this if you're making a blaxploitation movie. Pimps and Hoes.
Yeah, again, that kind of goes in with sex and stuff too, but the main characters are often a pimp or
they're fighting against pimps.
Yeah.
Depending on how heroic the character is. You get Shaft who took a job from a pimp is still sort of fighting against pimps and
Coffee's fighting against
Coffee's
pimps.
Certainly
and Foxy Brown is definitely fighting against pimps.
Yes.
And some of them are combination pimps and pushers.
That's true. Yes. And
Superfly.
And of course, Superfly is exactly, is both a pimp and Dolomite the same way. So that's a very important part. And then I would say the number 9 thing that we have, which is actually the last thing, it's not as predominant as the other things, but we notice this in a lot of movies, blaxploitation movies, homosexuals.
Yeah, actually portrayed in a very positive way for the most part. Like I was saying before, it was kind of a community thing where all the downtrodden people were kind of put into these blaxploitation movies to show that, look, we're all a community here and we're all fighting against the man.
Yes.
And that's why Shaft had his gay buddy at the bar.
Yep, his gay bartender buddy, and poor Billy and Bobby got to be the first victims of Blackula.
Yes. Uh-huh, yeah.
Which, by the way, not only did he suck all the red ink out of their veins, but he was laughing as he was getting in the coffin. I mean, I just thought that was rude.
Seriously.
He was there for a while, kind of laying dormant. And
let me ask you if you noticed this. I noticed after Shaft, the movie saw Shaft, a lot of people were doing the laughing. Like after they were leaving a room or something, which was a very big part of Richard Roundtree's performance. And I don't know if that was something that was just done at the time, or if that kind of started that.
I think Shaft had a whole different, I think a different level of mocking and
yeah,
yes,
fun. I mean, definitely Shaft was he was a super confident man.
He was the coolest man.
I think that's a good point. Laughing really denotes confidence in a lot of these characters.
And he was essentially, it wasn't just a maniacal or any type of laugh, but in that respect, I think it was just a way of insulting the people who were trying to get to him. It's the gentle ribbing with the cops versus the ones that, let's say the cops that were necessarily not, they weren't always corrupt, but they were always just giving him a hard time.
Yeah.
People like that, which he would one up, with just a couple words. I believe the laughing is again parodied in Black Dynamite.
Quite a bit. So now, should we just get on to Black Dynamite, or should we? Or do you want to talk about some of the names that we like?
Well, I figured that the names kind of meld in really well with Black Dynamite. But why don't we just actually go on to the final break?
Okay.
And then when we come back, we can kind of do all the rest of the stuff, Black Dynamite, and some of our favorite names, and some of the things we learned from blaxploitation films. So stay tuned, and we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Couple of great geeks, Dave and Anna, the geekiest people you'll ever meet, on 92.5 KYHY, Geek World, Thursdays at noon.
We are back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, super hosts, anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. And Darkubus Rybar joining us again. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. Hello, Dave.
All right, baby. Lay it on me. What are we doing next?
What are we doing next? Black Dynamite, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's Dynamite.
I can dig it. So yeah, so let's obviously Black Dynamite is a parody, came out
a bunch of cool
last
cats
year. And let's first talk about the star who else came up with the story and helped write the script, Mr. Michael J. White.
He's awesome.
I gotta say, starts like literally at that point, because a lot of the blaxploitation films were written and directed and, you know, developed by their stars.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would have to say, you know, this is a great role for him. You know, this is a guy I've appreciated for a long time. Like I said before, he was in Spawn, which is one of his first things. You know, I know he was in
Spawn.
He was in one of those Universal Soldier movies, fighting against Van Damme and Goldberg.
Yes,
and you know, along with that, he was in Kill Bill, but his stuff never came out. He was in Exit Wounds with Steven Seagal. The guy's been around a lot.
He was bad, but not good in that.
Usually, one of the reasons that he's gotten a lot of work is of course, The Dark Knight.
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of hard not to mention. He actually played more scenes of The Dark Knight than I think pretty much anyone other than maybe Christian Bale. Honestly, I think he's one of these really great kind of character actors who's been able to distinguish himself not only because he's like a big bodybuilder type guy, but he has like seven different...
Bodybuilder?
He knows seven different martial arts. Yeah, he is. He's huge. He knows like seven different martial arts, and he's, you know, just... He's awesome, and I think... I couldn't think of anyone better to play Black Dynamite.
I completely agree. He was just perfect, and his just reenactment of the way that the acting was done in those was genius.
Like, totally.
I mean, I've always liked Michael J. White, but you don't exactly realize how much kind of depth of a character that he can play and how well he can get into character until you see Black Dynamite and you're like, oh my god,
he has the best of both worlds, really.
Yeah, especially after seeing like Dolomite and all those movies.
Yeah, well, he usually either plays a bad guy or somebody's a little more stoic. So we were able to see a little more kind of enthusiasm out of him in this.
Well,
role.
It was like I was saying earlier with the, you know, the two different types of where you have a classically trained actor or you have, say, a model or an athlete. You know, Fred Williamson or Jim Brown, I mean, they may not have, you know, the theatrical training of Ron O'Neill. They may not have done, you know, Macbeth. But, you know, they have that thing. They have that charisma that, you know, just the key, when the camera goes on, you pay attention.
Well, I do believe that that Blackula played Othello in a jazz musical version.
You know, I do feel bad for Ron O'Neill. Apparently, he was very upset after doing Superfly that everyone thought he was a hustler and he really was having trouble getting work afterwards.
Yeah,
that's sad.
Well, he did have a decent career afterward. I mean, like, later on, he did a lot of TV, I think, and, you know, he definitely worked.
Well, good for him. I don't even know why I brought that up. That was a good answer. So I think, let's talk about Black Dynamite. Basically, you know, it is a spoof. It's a parody on blaxploitation films.
I believe in the trailer to Black Dynamite, which was a trailer that was essentially done as if this were a movie in the 70s, that it wasn't Michael J. White, but actually like a football player from the Baltimore Colts.
No way, really? I did not realize that. That's very interesting. Well, then that's even funnier, like you said, because Jim Brown, you know, I met Jim Brown once. When I was a kid, I got an autograph from him.
I need to shake your hand, sir.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah,
he was a great guy, you know, and I got his autograph, and he was really cool. I remember at the time just being a really nice guy, and you know, he did have a few legal problems in his past. I remember maybe throwing a cop over a cop car, but you know what? He's a method actor. He was just, you know, he was just doing a role, you know.
I'm excited to watch the Toxic Avengers Part 2 and 3.
Yes, you should be,
because he's Apocalypse Inc. executive.
Did you ever see the first Toxic Avenger?
Yes,
it really comes off actually quite well. It has a lot more production value than I thought it would. Speaking of production value, that's the cool thing about these movies. Cleopatra Jones has like a ton of production value.
Yeah.
And then there's some like Superfly who, you know, it's all guerrilla style.
Yeah. Like, oh my god.
You could tell they had no, like, they weren't
no
allowed to shoot anywhere
or anything. Like, guy with a camera in the car window just like, you know, rolling down the street.
No, they were very innovative.
It really gave us some ideas. It's like, yeah, we can do that.
You know what's cool about Black Dynamite? Not only does it have, you know, a lot of the major things and a lot of the big blaxploitation movies, and it has all the humor and all the archetypes. But I also think, you know, they did two things to make it great. The first thing was, I'm not sure exactly how they shot it, if this happened in post, but they definitely, everything was very desaturated, like the 70s, and had that big grain and that kind of dirty film look. And not only that, but they also shot it very much the same with, like, you start out of focus and go into focus, or the kind of, you know, those kind of zip, how would you call it? Those
zooms.
So, yeah, exactly. Zip zooms. And it, there's very much, oh, and also, you know, dissolving into a profile of somebody.
I also like how instead of, you know, a crane shot, they probably, what seems to have been some of the shots were somebody on a building, on like the roof of a building across the street, zoomed in really far.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm fairly certain that was, yes, that was absolutely some of their crane style shots.
And Anna May was saying that she really liked all the times that Michael J. White was doing like his kind of stoic pose, you know, that most guys
with
like
that look and staring up into the air kind of blankly,
which
a little
is very,
bit.
Very Shaft-like, I would say, you know, there's a lot of parts. Her favorite part in Shaft, I think, is when the camera is kind of shooting like, you know, nothing per se, and then, you know, Richard Roundtree's head just kind of moves in the frame.
Oh my God, a slow motion. Just kind
of
like,
it was one of her favorite
from an
movies.
Angle kind of like comes up. Yeah. Oh my God, I laughed so hard.
I have to say something real quick.
I love afros.
Blackula so was a lot better than we thought it would be.
Yeah.
We actually
really was. We enjoyed it.
We thought it would just be nothing but cheesy and bad. It actually was sort of an interesting story. I like the whole, you know, Dracula's a racist jerk. I mean, I like the fact that, you know, Black Swan movies are about, they're about the man. And in this movie, the man is Dracula.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I thought really clever. I thought it was a really good way of doing it.
Awesome.
It was very, yeah, it was just like, it's exceptionally good. And I also like the fact that when you become a vampire, you get awesome mutton chops.
Yes.
That's, that don't that's connect big, to your beard or hair.
Yeah, that's a big
they
one.
They just sit there in the middle of your face.
You get a little bit of makeup and, you know, it's kind of a different attitude when you're a vampire.
Yes. Oh, and there was a cool, like CSI Shaft-like hero in it, too.
Yeah.
He's sort of like half Van Helsing, half Shaft, all CSI.
Yeah.
It's very, very cool. A little Kolchak, too.
Shaft, science division.
Yes. But anyway, back to Black Dynamite. I think, you know, one of the really cool things about it is, you know, obviously it's a lot of martial arts. That's one of the great things about having Michael J. White. It was funny to me, though, because, you know, usually when you watch these movies, the people really, you can tell the people who know martial arts and the people who learned it for the movie.
Yes.
And Michael J. White certainly knows what he's doing, which I think, you know, was interesting, because part of, I think, blaxploitation movies is guys who don't really know what they're doing pretending to have martial arts.
Well, you watched Black Belt Jones.
Yes. Well,
does he know martial arts?
Oh,
or
certainly.
He worked with Bruce Lee.
Okay,
he was a big martial artist.
That was kind of where I was going to go with the Black Dynamite thing. That it seemed that you know, there were a few
it's sort
that
of like
had
half
people
half.
That were
Belt Jones. I will point out. I'll just kind of discuss that a little bit briefly. Black Belt Jones. You know, in the opposite of Dolomite, Black Belt Jones was a studio film.
Yeah,
it was, you know, a legit film starring.
It was Warner Brothers, like
it was Warner Brothers, and it was you know, Jim Kelly's big breakout after Enter the Dragon, and so it was, you know, by all accounts you look at it and you take it seriously,
yeah.
You know, but it is at times unintentionally funny, mainly because of some of its musical accompaniment and some of the performances and all that, but also a very, very noticeable what do they call it when you in martial arts when you let out your little cry, your little war cry there, and
I got you. Like your wah, or
yeah. Well, Michael J. White basically he rips it off.
Yes,
that is the exact sound that Jim Kelly makes.
You know what's
Black Belt Jones?
You know what's really funny? In some martial arts, when they're teaching you certain martial arts, especially some of the self defense ones, they actually teach you to make those sounds when you do it because
it's a breathing thing, right?
Yeah, it's a breathing thing in it, and it actually kind of helps, especially when you're just learning. It actually kind of helps to do the moves more with more power.
Yes. But you're right. It's certainly owed to Black Belt Jones and also Bruce Lee, who kind of was one of the guys who helped bring it to the forefront.
Yeah, but this is a very distinct sound.
Yeah,
that you can
That is Black Belt Jones, and of course Michael J. White just takes that and directly influence. Yeah, he just rips it.
Hey, we're very happy about every time he enters an apartment, he was kicking down the door.
Yes.
Instead of just walking through it, we thought that was very funny, especially when he kicked through the door and sent an old lady flying across the room.
Now can I ask? Were in any of the movies that you saw? Was there ever a speech like, This one child, I'll never forget. Poor little bastard was still alive. Little Chinese legs were blown clean off. Still see his little shins and feet hanging from the ceiling fan across the hut.
I don't remember any non-flashbacks.
He was charred from his head down to his little Chinese knees. This is all talking about Vietnam, by the way.
It would make sense. Yeah. It makes sense of the times.
Yes. Yeah.
But
exactly.
were there any with some sort of Vietnam flashback?
To think if
or?
There was one in black. No, I don't. Not that I recall, but I mean, certainly it's.
In Black Belt Jones, was there a Kung Fu Island?
I don't believe so.
That would be Enter the Dragon.
We actually noticed that a few places listed Enter the Dragon as blaxploitation, which doesn't seem quite to fit, but
no,
I can see where people are coming from.
Yeah.
It
was the influence of Bruce Lee. I mean, Bruce Lee has a huge influence on African-American culture.
I think at the time, it's a big studio film starring a minority, which
absolutely.
Was very different. Jim Kelly, and also Jim Kelly. I remember as a kid, I was confused by Jim Kelly's opening, but it couldn't be more blaxploitation. The opening of Enter Dragon. I mean, the cops are trying to rough him up or arrest him for no reason, and so he beats him up and then steals their cop car.
And I believe Enter the Dragon had an incredible score that was very very
yeah, it's totally awesome. All right, so what were some of the other things that I think
we should get into to how well Black Dynamite, some of the great things that they captured, like the names.
Yes.
There was in Black Dynamite, there was Arsenio Hall playing Tasty Freeze, Tommy Davidson playing Cream Corn.
There was even a direct take from Dolomite, Queen Bee. And also his brothel. You know, I think that
Euphoria.
I would say that
shut up, Euphoria.
That was amazing. I would say that there's two movies you need to see if you can only watch two blaxploitation movies to see Black Dynamite. In my opinion, they would be Shaft and Dolomite.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean.
But there was also some Black Caesar and some Black Belt Jones in there, right?
There's a lot of everything.
There's different types. There are those types that sort of take on the more obvious things that you would expect a blaxploitation film to be. And then there's when you get into some of them, they're actually very, they're very good. They're just very straightforward, good films. I mean, we don't discuss, Superfly is that way, but The Mac is, which actually The Mac has Richard Pryor in it. It's a serious film. These are actually the types of films that you would parody, whereas Dolomite, Black Belt Jones, they have that sort of comedic.
They sort of already are parodies in themselves.
Yeah.
I tell you. Well, let's talk about like you said, some of the things. First off, they had the boom mic in Black Dynamite that was big in.
We were gonna go for some of our favorite names. I brought up the names so that we could.
My bad.
Some of the other names from Black Dynamite, Kotex.
I think you should have created a game here. Was it Black Dynamite or was it from original?
That's a good point. How about this? I'll say the name and you tell us what the movie is.
Okay,
Wait.
Okay, I've got the first one.
Okay.
Blackula.
This one's tough.
Shaft in Africa.
Yes!
Good job.
Okay, Dolomite.
Slaughter.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So now, here's some of the other ones. These ones are going to be kind of hard. The first one is the first one isn't hard. Bumpy Jonas.
Bumpy Jonas would be Shaft.
Yes. Good job.
Mm-hmm. All right. Probably take off of Bumpy Johnson.
Yes. Yes. So the next one is, I don't know if you'll get this one. These are actually two names: Fireplug and Pickle. Think of the second one, Pickle, because it actually came up in one of
Pickle,
our quotes.
Pickle, it was Cleopatra.
Yes, good job.
Fireplug was...
No, they're both Cleopatra Jones.
Okay.
I think there was another one, Fireplug.
Right. Well, they referred to him often as just Plug. It was Plug and Pickles.
Here's the next one. You ready for this? The Hamburger Pimp.
Or otherwise known as Creeper.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be Dolomite.
Oh, good work. And the last one, it's okay if you don't get this one. This one's difficult. Doodlebug.
Doodlebug.
Poor guy. We always ask him the ones he hasn't seen.
Foxy Brown or Cleopatra Jones.
Cleopatra Jones. Yeah. Yes. So those are some of our favorite ones. So there's a lot of really good ones. You know, we liked Scatter and Superfly. Scatter. Someone called him Scatterman once. I thought it was sort of like a bad guy in Mega Man. But overall, you know, there are some funny names out there.
Yeah, I noticed that Black Belt Jones had a number of good ones. There's Pop Bird.
I really like the part in Black Dynamite where they hit upon everything. You know, one thing they hit upon was him having sex with various races.
Mm-hmm. All at once.
Yeah, it's that was very, very funny. You know, it's really interesting just how much stuff they were able to cram in there. Like you said, you know, the beginning was very much Dolomite. You know, mm-hmm. he had his hose, that all new martial arts.
Yeah, all the things that we went over that black exploitation must have.
Yeah, had it all. Yeah, pretty much had it all.
The boom mics were genius though. The bright red boom mics to ensure that you knew that it was a boom mic there. In Dolomite, you also couldn't miss it, but, you know, how intentional that was, another story.
That was the...
Yeah, and you know, like Shaft, you know, he's got his white cop friend who's, you know, still, who's trying to look out for him, even though he's no longer part of the group.
Vic.
Yeah. Which was definitely a big part of it.
He doesn't like Vic's chair.
Yes, in Shaft, yes, he doesn't like, and I don't know what he would say in Black Dynamite.
Okay.
I just thought that it was just very, very funny. I think the main thing is, like, I don't know how I would have felt about it. I would have thought it was funny had I not seen these other movies, but I certainly wouldn't have appreciated it as much. I think that,
like I said,
you need to see at least Shaft and Dolomite to really get a real good kick out of it. And then if you can see, like, Cleopatra Jones and Coffee and a few other ones, it would also behoove you.
And as you and I were talking about earlier, Black Dynamite is to blaxploitation what we had wished Grindhouse had been to Grindhouse films.
Yes.
Well, you know, I think in a lot of ways the certain blaxploitation films were Grindhouse films.
Very much. Yeah.
This was exactly what we had wished from them, because it parodied them perfectly and was just as entertaining.
I mean, that's you know, it's the 70s too. You know, Blackula is very much in the vein of a Hammer film, just kind of funnier, whether it means to or not to be. I think that as we said before, there's a lot of they really hark upon the narrative lyrics of a song and how they can tell a story.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God,
in a very
genius.
Comedic version. It was sort of like we were talking about before, like basketball.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he's driving. Life's getting out of control. You know, it's very much when he's at his brother's funeral. It's like, I can't believe my younger brother passed away.
That is also taken from Black Caesar, I believe.
Oh really?
James Brown has a song called "Mama's Dead." Mama's Funeral.
This is what we were hoping. We knew there were a few things that were obvious parody that we weren't familiar with, so I'm glad that you had seen that.
Even the longer version of the Shaft song, you know, mentions how, you know, he's so cool, but he can't even get a cab and can't even hail a cab in New York City, you know?
And he cannot.
I believe one of the lines was, he does kung fu when he wants, and he gets paid every day.
Yeah.
And then in Black Dynamite, it's pretty amazing. Let's see.
Is there anything else we want to get into, or should we get into our what we learned?
We should probably get into what we learned, and then we can add anything else. I think overall, Black Dynamite was brilliant. I mean, it's very funny. They do everything. They spoof it not only technically, but also with everything that they do.
Yeah, it looks just like one of them.
It's kind of daring to do that, to actually go that far to spoof it technically, to have a film that goes on with that, with the type of acting, with the type of style. There is a sort of strange pace to it at times. There is a sort of feeling of this thing isn't quite, it's like they don't break too often into something that isn't necessarily,
I kind of recommend this movie for everybody. You know, I think that anyone would enjoy this movie, but I think that you get even more out of it if you watch Dolomite and Shaft
beforehand.
I mean, to
be quite honest, and this is not a knock against Black Dynamite in any way, but I laugh much harder in Dolomite.
Because I think Dolomite, the thing is, especially if you're not really familiar with it being a parody, it's beyond absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Rudy Ray Moore, he's just this guy who, he's not a hero.
No.
You know? Well,
To me, he was.
Yeah.
But he doesn't look like one.
To his toes, he was.
Yeah. But he's like, just as funny as can be.
Yeah.
And I think Black Dynamite was just really able to,
thank you for taking care of us when we didn't have a pimp around.
Yeah. I think, you know, what was cool about Black Dynamite though, is you got everything, you know, you got the martial arts, which is a big part of it. I love the fact that they shot it the same way they shoot a Black Exploitation film, but he really knew what he was doing, so it looked cool. And all the little, like the boom mic stuff was just out of control.
So let's get into the lessons we learned.
Okay. Well,
from
Black Exploitation. We learned, and you're please welcome to add things add things to us like some sort of cybernetic organism. We have a few things we learned from blaxploitation films. So here we go. This is the first thing we learned is beware the man, especially when it's a woman.
Yes. Yes, but I mean, I think just always beware the man.
Yes, I would have to
always
say.
Always you have to beware the man, because the man is always out to get
you. But when the man is a woman, she's crazy.
Yes, very
crazy. Like, she's so crazy. Yeah. Like, you know, when you just generally have to beware the man, you kind of, you know where he's coming from. But the woman, when the man's a woman, she's out of her mind, and you don't know what she's thinking.
Yeah, she's either like Lady Kanye crazy, Cleopatra Jones, or she's Drusilla crazy, sort of like, Foxy Brown. So you never know.
Lady Catherine.
All right, so that's number one. The number two thing we learned from blaxploitation films is if you're looking for a gun, go to the kitchen or your afro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, often, Shaft kept one in his freezer.
Yes, Superfly
kept one in the cabinet. And, Foxy Brown kept one in her afro, which, by the way, Pam Grier's idea, because Pam Grier is awesome. And, again, I think that all people should go for afros. If you can wear an afro, wear it, because afros are beautiful and afros are awesome, and I love afros on men and women, and I even enjoy the Jufro, but the regular afro way better and awesome, and love your afro because it's so cool.
I think afros. What she is saying is that if you have a natural afro, do not do anything to straighten it.
Don't wear weaves. Love your afro because it's beautiful.
If you have to get a special car like Cleopatra Jones,
that will not crush your afro.
Yes. By the way, if you can't fit a gun into your afro, you can always use shards of glass.
Yes, that's true. Good point.
But if you can't fit a gun into your afro, grow a bigger afro.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, don't mess around. They make small guns now. Come on.
Yeah.
Anyone could fit that in.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. All right, so number three, the third thing we learned from blaxploitation films, cats are dynamite, turkeys are jive.
It's true. Really is.
There's no jive cat.
Well, I guess it could be a jive. Yeah, but
cats in general are
they're usually more dynamite than the turkeys, which are always certainly jive.
A cat can occasionally be a jive turkey, but a jive
a cat is usually cool.
And sometimes hustlers are cool, and sometimes they're jive. It really depends on who your hero is.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be number three. Number four thing we learned is it only costs $1 to save a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you give a child $1 to watch your car, you'll save them for a lifetime. Yes. If you give $1 to a kid who's,
hungry and cold.
It'll save them.
Unless you give $1 to a kid to, look out for someone who's going to come and kill somebody else, or, to kind of, if you're one of the, big crime bosses and you take one of those little kids and, give him $1 to hold somebody down while someone's going to go and shoot him. Shoes to distract him.
That's true. There could be that. They could be used for ulterior motives.
Totally different life there. Yeah.
But you'll still save him for the time being.
Well, you'll get paid.
Yes.
Well, he'll get paid. Yeah. $1. Get paid.
At least if you're Shaft
you're just trying to save a kid
with
a dollar.
You can save a kid with $1.
We're just saying, we're talking about if you want to save a kid, it just costs $1.
$1.70.
So was it ironic when Taxi Driver came out and Harvey Keitel was the pimp, when there was all these pimps that were African American in
white
movies?
Pimps. I think there were white pimps.
Yeah, I'm sure there were. They just didn't dress as well.
Yeah, they didn't dress as well, and I don't think they necessarily attended the ball.
I think they would be referred to as honky pimps.
Well, it's funny they brought that up. In Superfly, they have a real pimp in that movie named KC.
Yes.
And I believe he's the guy with the big fur hat, but he might be the guy with a 45-degree angle hat. I'm not sure.
Either way,
the whole reason he was in that is because they wanted to use his car. Superfly's car is an actual pimp's car, and the only way they could use it is if they put him in the movie. And they even has a credit, introducing KC.
That's how you do it. I mean, you want to go for authenticity there.
I wonder if KC was in American Pimp, that documentary.
He might have been.
I'd like to see that again. I saw that once. It's pretty good. All right. The number five thing that you learned from a blaxploitation movie is, no, honey, the coffin will not make a fabulous addition to the living room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you come across a coffin, if you bought a coffin at an estate sale, it doesn't matter if you're a gay couple or not.
Yeah.
Either way, do not open that coffin. Yeah. It will not make a good addition to your living room.
If you and your life partner bought some stuff at Dracula's Castle, I wouldn't recommend opening it anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care if you believe in the myth or not.
Yeah.
Do not open that
when
coffin.
When you see, something on eBay that is from Transylvania, I think just,
just skip. Just go past it. I agree.
But if you feel the need to get it, don't open it. Don't open it.
I didn't realize that Dracula was just such a racist.
Oh, he's such a jerk. I didn't realize
Poor Billy.
Yeah. To the slave trade.
Not poor Billy. Poor Mama Waldy.
Poor Mama Waldy.
But
that wasn't Billy and Bobby's fault.
Dracula was like slavery's awesome, man.
Dave, you're now getting into one of our later.
That's true. I will stop there, and we'll go to number six. Some of the things we learned from blaxploitation movies, which is defenestration should be your first line of defense.
Yeah, we can't believe how many people got thrown out windows in these movies.
Yes, windows play a big part in the violence in these movies. Shaft, I would say, had actually two window sections. He threw my man Leroy out a window, and he also came down through a window to shoot a bunch of guys. So that defenestration definitely plays a part.
You need neither guns nor martial arts when a window is afoot.
Exactly.
Be in a tall building.
Yes. That does help.
It does, but sometimes you don't need to kill them. Sometimes you just need them out the window.
Especially a tall building that can represent a syringe at the end of your movie. Yes.
I mean, he threw Leroy out the window, but I don't think Leroy died.
No. I don't think so.
Did he? I thought Leroy died.
No. I think he was just in the hospital.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, good for Leroy.
Can you imagine that, for Bumpy Jonas to have to pay for that?
I have to say, I hated the remake of Shaft very much that John Singleton did with...
You mean about Shaft's nephew? Shaft.
That was the mistake. I mean, yes, as much as I love Richard Roundtree, and I think absolutely it's great to have him in it, but just have him play somebody. Don't make it like Shaft has another Shaft.
I hated it. I saw it when it came out in theaters, and I had saw the original Shaft before, and there's a few reasons I hate it. First and foremost, I love Samuel Jackson, but he couldn't be more wrong to play Shaft.
Yeah.
I mean, Shaft is is confident and all the ladies love him because he's a sexy guy. Samuel Jackson does the crazy guy thing really well and the intense guy thing really well, but he's not a ladies' man, and he's really not cool in that kind of way.
He's not in that. Yeah, you think he is, but he really isn't.
Yeah, and I had a total misfire. And by the way, the story of the original Shaft is about a billion times better than this new one.
Yeah,
that's a fantastic
story. The new one was just Christian Bale is a racist yuppie who kills Mekhi Phifer.
Yeah.
I mean, also, Shaft in itself, a blaxploitation character doesn't work as well in a cinema of this time period that takes place now.
It wasn't necessarily meant to be blaxploitation. Well, it was just a cop film.
Not the film itself, but the character. The Shaft character, they were still trying to play that off like the old Shaft character in a way. Semi-updated, but not enough to make him feel like he fit.
It was like panning for gold. They were trying to get rid of all the 70s stuff and keep the essentials, but it didn't work.
Remember one thing I did like about Shaft was it did have a good heavy.
Jeffrey Wright. Which, by the way, they got a lot of hot water because he was an African-American actor, and the Latino community did not like he was playing a Latino character. I remember at the time there was a lot of problems with that.
And you wouldn't have...
Exactly.
So dead on.
Yeah.
Does anyone ever have a problem with Rosario Dawson playing anything?
No, because she's hot.
Yeah,
of course you wouldn't.
Like, that's the thing. You know, it's like
Pam Grier.
People can't just start complaining about certain actors or certain roles and then, ignore other ones,
I have to agree. All right, so we should get on to number seven, which is pimping is easier when your hoes know kung fu.
Or karate.
Mm-hmm.
I think pimping ain't easy.
No, it isn't. No. It's hard out there for a pimp, as we found out much later on, actually.
Yes.
Back in 2006 or 2005.
Well, I mean, everyone's on your tail. You got the other pimps. You got the man.
You got the cops. It's just, you never know. So it's much better if they know that. Number eight, we talked about already, but the number eight thing we learned about life and in general from blaxploitation films is that Dracula's a dick.
Yeah. Dracula, always seemed kind of cool and suave.
Yeah.
They turn people into vampires and stuff, and that's, kind of jerky if they don't want to be turned, but whatever. But, we found out that Dracula's all about slavery and stuff, and he's kind of pathetic in that way. He's like, dude, you're Dracula.
He's a total jerk. He totally was telling Mama Waldy that he wanted to buy his wife, and then when Mama Waldy told him that
Waldy, who the pronunciation of his name constantly changed.
Yes, Mama Waldy told him that he found his presence as distasteful as his brandy, and Dracula was so angry about that that he, you know, turned him into a vampire to curse him because he did not believe in slavery.
And then he gave him his name.
Yes.
You shall be Blackula.
Which I also thought, by the way, was a very clever way to talk about the, you know, how the slave trade, you know, affected people's African-Americans' last names. And I thought that was also clever thing that they did in that movie. That movie was actually insanely clever, which I was very, very happy about. I think more so than a lot of the movies.
And it was really an interesting one because only the Dracula part felt like blaxploitation, really, because that the man was Dracula. But then, you know, by the time the actual movie started, it was just poor Dracula wants his wife back.
Filmy. It's a little different than your average.
But he did, however, have a totally awesome pink purse that he was carrying around for part of the movie, and I was impressed. All right, so we're pretty much down to the end. We only have two things left that we learned from blaxploitation movies. The first is the best form of identification is a rap.
Absolutely. You know, you rhyme, and that's how people, you know, when they go, hey, Darkubus Rybar, how do I know you're Darkubus Rybar? You know how you respond? You spit some rhymes. Yes. And that's how they'll know.
You know, a group of guys went around Dolomite, and they said, you're not Dolomite, prove it. And, you know, Dolomite could have pulled out his ID that said Dolomite, but that would have been too easy.
He did his act.
Yes, and that's really
God, I wish they had an ID that they could have shown that said Dolomite.
Yeah. So I think that, you know,
Dolomite.
If you got to go to the airport and you don't have time to get your license or your passport to get through customs, I would certainly say make sure you have your rap ready. And maybe
it's not about having it ready. It's about being able to spit it out spot,
that's
Dave.
True, yes.
And
being confident about that.
Yeah.
And if you could maybe throw in a little story about like a lion and an elephant, I think that would be really good.
I agree.
And the number 10 thing that we learned from blaxploitation films, and this is a Geek World special, is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would have done well with such an emphasis on trash can violence.
Yeah, with people being thrown into trash cans and trash can lids being used as weapons. And
there's a whole lot of trash cans between Superfly and was it Foxy Brown?
I believe so.
And even Blackula was throwing things that looked like trash cans.
I also think Cleopatra Jones, like, you know, hit someone into some trash cans.
I would have to say that's one of my favorite parts of Superfly is when they actually show him throw the guy into the trash can.
Yeah,
and it's
pretty
all
awesome.
One shot.
I miss trash cans.
Yes. I know.
You don't see that happening in.
Yes.
Well, I say, you know, bring it back. Bring it back.
I mean, it wouldn't look good having, you know, a Superfly throw somebody into a recycler.
That's true.
Or some sort of car crusher like Cleopatra Jones. Exactly.
Similarly, we also realized that, you know, pretty much all Steven Seagal movies, had they been made about 10 years earlier, would have probably been blaxploitation films.
Yes,
I mean,
very
Hard
much.
To Kill.
Very much.
Like,
I would say Out for Justice
certainly
is a blaxploitation type movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Marked for Death, I think, to a certain degree, too, if you're going with a more like a Shaft-esque type of character.
Yeah.
Or Coffee.
Yeah, I
have a degree to absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think other than that, I mean, we only have a few minutes left. So, would anyone else like to say anything about blaxploitation films?
Was there anything in particular that you learned from blaxploitation films, Darkubus Rybar?
I have learned essentially how to live my life through blaxploitation.
Yes, I would agree. You
know, I think
it's the decision, you know, should you be a pimp or a pusher, or a pimp and a pusher?
That's true.
I mean, these are decisions that you have to make.
Yes.
Anything else from Black Dynamite that we didn't get to?
Black Dynamite, I think it essentially hit upon everything. I mean, really, it was certainly thorough. I mean, you don't have to make another one, but they have made, I should add that they have made other good parodies or films that address blaxploitation.
Yes.
You know, certainly, I'm going to get you, sucker.
I haven't seen, but we'll be rendering.
Yes, one of Keenan Ivory Wayne's first big starring roles.
Feature, I believe, Fred Williamson and Jim Brown.
Maybe
Isaac Hayes.
Maybe we'll do a blaxploitation part two at some point.
Sounds good to me.
There might be.
Like, a few with some, sequels.
We got
like Cleopatra Jones and the Casino of Gold.
Casino of Gold and the Human Tornado.
Human Tornado.
And we need to get the sweet
Scream Blackula Scream.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole
Africa,
lot of
Shaft. Big score.
Yeah,
yes.
Totally.
I mean, there's also one called Diamond Shaft, which isn't even a Shaft movie, but they just decided to, you know, try to market the name Shaft.
Yeah. So
and
I like how Foxy Brown was actually supposed to be the Coffee sequel, but then they decided not to make it a sequel. And so then they had to, you know, pretty much eliminate any reference to her job as a nurse because she they couldn't make Foxy Brown a nurse. Cause
Burn? Yeah, Coffee exactly. Burn is or what it was supposed to be called. Yeah, I think that part in Foxy Brown was certainly, the one part in the ranch was certainly very much like Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Very much of that.
Yes.
But that's actually all the time that we have for this episode of Geek World. Don't forget to tune in next week, same time, same place. If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/geekworldradio. We have a really interesting show planned for you next week.
Yes.
So be sure to tune in.
It's not jive, and you will be able to dig it.
That's right. Don't be a turkey. Tune in.
Dynamite.
Dynamite.